Hi, I'm Justin Daugherty. I was born on January 20th, 1985, on the second inauguration of Ronald Reagan, and I currently live in Austin, Texas, and I'm in school. I grew up in a town called Moss Bluff, Louisiana. It's a pretty small town right outside of the city, Lake Charles, Louisiana. It was very, very rural. We had dirt roads. We couldn't get any satellite or cable television. We had to actually drive to the nearest church to meet the pizza delivery guy because they wouldn't deliver out where we lived. So, a lot of playing out in the woods and a lot of seclusion, really. Lived there until I was about 18, and then a buddy of mine, we moved to Seattle, where I lived for about 3 or 4 years, and played as a musician, and then in 2007 I moved to Austin, and I've been in Austin, Texas ever since. Right now I'm actually studying biointensive gardening, and I am hoping to teach farmers sustainable ways to farm that will increase the longevity of their soil to allow them to grow more crops. Currently, I go to ACC, Austin Community College. I'm going provided by a federal Pell Grant, and I live very humbly. I live off of like $700 a month total, and the grant covers my rent and most of all my bills. Right now, I have a 4.0 GPA. I'm about to be a sophomore. I have like 38 credits. I look at my life as I have more of a responsibility because I have this Pell Grant. I don't think I'd be able to make the grades I'm making right now while having to work more than 30 hours. So I have had melanoma skin cancer removed, and I had health insurance, but since I dropped the hours at the jo my job, I got dropped my health insurance. And so right now, I go back and forth every few months. I'm about to get back on it and get some checkups on my yearly routine, but it's a huge stress, and I just kind of take it day by day, you know. I definitely think about it because I ride my bike a lot, so it's always on my mind, that fear. But I live a healthy life. I eat a lot of vegetables, a lot of fermented food, so I don't really get sick very often. And other than disaster, I'm taking my chances, I guess, just like everyone else who doesn't have health care. But I do plan on getting it soon. I kind of save up and I go back and forth, and that way I'll pay for it and have to drop it. I'm worried about getting health care because I've had pre-existing conditions. That's something that I constantly worry about. Will a new provider pick me up, or will I have to go through United, which was my previous provider? Education to me is the most important aspect to a functioning society. It is the foundation of any sort of organization or business or government or society or anything you want to call it. Without education, we cannot function. So when my grandmother came over from Lebanon in the 50s, she couldn't speak English, and she had to have her 10-year-old daughter, who was learning English, translate for her when she would go out. So they really valued education, and their children valued education, and they really believed in it. For me, growing up in Louisiana, I don't feel like I was given an equal opportunity because of the region in which I lived, that really stifled my growth as a person, as a child. And it wasn't until I was older and had moved away that I started learning about my family's history and what they went through to come to America. And that just it inspired me to do more and to elevate, I call it, my potential of change. I want to be able to do more within my community and have more of a positive effect, and education is still the ultimate tool for me to get there. The fact that school costs so much right now is a hindrance to the progression of our society, because our recent college graduates are the people that need to be taking risk and investing in their community. And then getting out of college being $20,000 or more in debt is not going to inspire someone to take a risk or start a business or do anything. I think the economy today is better in different ways. When my father was in college, for one, it was very inexpensive, and there was a lot of jobs that you could get without a high school education. So there were more jobs then. But today, I think there are better jobs because of our focus on the environment and our focus on education. I think there's a lot more jobs, maybe not in the refining or in the mining industries, but in the sustainable agriculture and education. There's a lot in our social welfare and a lot invested in the governmental jobs, which I believe in. So it's about redefining what is an opportunity. And as a farmer, to me, there's always opportunity because food and education are what I focus on. And I think a lot more other people my age are starting to focus on and just redefining what opportunity is. Right now, debt, I think, is a cancer on our society, and debt hinders opportunity. And the education, I feel like my father had more of an opportunity in 1973 when he went to Texas A&M than I do right now. And my father was an accountant for Huber Oil, and he quit his job to have a more rural lifestyle and to raise us. And he owned a convenience store until 1992, and then he became ill with something called CIDP. It's an autoimmune disease. So he's been struggling with that since 1992. And my mother, she's just kind of done odd jobs throughout our life, but she pretty much helped raise us. His disability policy, Social Security, and I think Medicare, Medicaid, definitely helped provide us a normal upbringing, which also is a reason why I'm a big opportunist and a believer, because I believe that there has never been a society that has allowed a family to live the quality of lifestyle that we have during such a terrible event in their life. So I believe that type of security should be provided to more, if not all, Americans, and which is, you know, health insurance is a big deal to me because of my family history and what I've seen my dad do and what having good insurance did for him and what would have happened to him if he didn't have that insurance. And I sympathize for people that may not have made that decision to continue to have disability insurance. However, the devastating result, I don't think anyone should have to lose everything they have because of an unfortunate event. My family, I was more on the Lebanese side rather than my dad's side, which is from Southwest Louisiana. But my grandmother is definitely the biggest influence in my life because she grew up, her parents died when she was young, and her older sister took care of six children in a one-roomed house in northern Lebanon, and they had an olive orchard, and they grew vegetables. And so when my grandmother, they were provided an opportunity to come to America through her husband, my grandfather, and they have constantly remained rich at heart and to me have lived a more fulfilling life because of the way they valued food and nature. So they were never rich, but the meals every night is a lasting image in my mind of rich people at heart. So even though we didn't have a lot of the opportunities, we were loved unconditionally, and we were told that we could do whatever we wanted. And that's, I think, the main reason why I've been able to struggle out of certain low points in my life, because of that strong foundation as a child and because of the sacrifices that my family made to come to America. My father's father, my grandfather, Johnny Daugherty, he was a fighter pilot in World War II. Actually served two tours in World War II and was shot down. And then he flew carrier jets in Korea during the latter part of his military stint. So I have two sides of, I think, the greatest example of American exceptionalism. When I look at the Lebanese side, these people that, you know, came over here for opportunity and made the most out of it. And then on my father's side, the pride of the greatest generation, you know, but to me, they were equal. So I've had this unique perspective about cultures and about what it means to be an American. And so that's where, you know, Inauguration Day, it has been somewhat of a, you know, because it falls on my birthday, so I get to sit and listen to the president speak. And it just really, it's a really meaningful day to me personally, because it's, you know, it's my birthday. And I think a lot of people my age are in such bad debt that it skews their ability to make good judgments and to really make a clear decision where they want to be in their life and who they want to be in their life. In Moss Bluff, Louisiana, I quit school when I was 15, and for the next 2 years, I actually picked up guitar, and that's when I became a guitarist, because I was too young to work, and my dad thought it would be a good idea, because he was sick and stayed at home all day, that we take guitar lessons together. But then he got sick, and I just kept with it, and that became my passion. And the end of my 17th year, I moved to Seattle abruptly, and my dad took me to the Houston airport and, you know, caught a plane to Seattle, where I just played music. And that was in 2003. I just played music around, and just, I fell in love with being a stranger and just being a traveler and an artist. I really loved playing my role as an artist in society and having people view you and interpret you in different ways. You know, in my town of a couple thousand people, the school was, you know, one big school, K through 12. I think finally they divided it up, but there was nothing to do. The cops are horrible. The crime rate is high. The education's low. The pollution's high. It's just, it's backwards, and I struggled as a teenager. The last image I have of high school was my science teacher denying Darwin and trying to teach some sort of version of creationism, and I disagreed beyond belief. I always told people when they asked if I ever got homesick, and I describe it as I felt like I was homesick for 18 years. And then when I went to Seattle, it felt like I'd gone home, because the people are just so evolved, and they're so aware, and they're knowledgeable, and they're not judgmental. There's no racism. I chose Seattle because of my friend and I drove across the country, and during a month or two long drive, when I got to Seattle, the beauty was just beyond anything I'd ever imagined. And the vision of Mount Rainier right there was just remarkable. But we chose Seattle just because we ended up there.